idea that when I got married that my wife would say, that is not healthy. Do not do that. Because when I was little, everything that tasted good was nutritious. That was my frame of mind. So when I thought about chocolate chip cookies, I used to think, this is the most nutritious thing for my body ever. And the better you can make it taste, the more nutritious it is. Can you imagine? You see, because cookies, especially chocolate chip cookies, lit up my taste buds. They lit up my taste buds. But when they lit up my taste buds, what I didn't realize was that what I was eating was not giving my body any nourishment. Just try eating about 4 dozen cookies and see what your body does to you. Tastes good, not a really good for your body. You see, good news or the evangel is the exact opposite of a chocolate chip cookie. Now, I have some chocolate chip cookies here. And if you saw them before the service, you might have thought, man, I wish I could open that up. Whose are they? Maybe I could steal one. Well, and this is a family pack. It's here to share. But if you look at the label, number one is the life of a chocolate chip cookie is not long. And the expiration date on these chocolate chip cookies are July 16th. Anyone want one now? You have to get your parents' permission. And what we have in Jesus is good news for our whole being. Jesus is nourishment for our whole being. I have to step back right now because I'm being very distracted. Am I coming across? I am not coming across because my battery's dead, guys. That's why it wasn't working. I need a D. I will stay right here. The word gospel, okay, so the word gospel is the Greek word evangelion, which is where we get the word evangel from, or evangelism. So in some Bibles, you'll see that translated as good news. In some Bibles, you'll see that translated as evangelism. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. Not for you. Okay. Got the condenser mic off? Okay. The word gospel is the Greek word evangelion, or evangelism, which means good news. And the word gospel means good news, and if we look at the good news, we find that Jesus is completely attached to what we find as being the good news proclaimed. Matthew 4:23 says, "And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people." So Jesus proclaimed the kingdom. But if you look at this verse, you will see that his proclamation of the good news did not just meet spiritual needs, it also met physical needs. Jesus is the complete nutrition for us. This is why he's good news. Jesus is the God-given, good news-bringing answer to our physical our natural, and our spiritual, our supernatural needs. Amen. And Jesus does not look like a chocolate chip cookie, because there is no end to his nourishment. What we experienced this morning with Matt, and by the way, I know that all of you have different relationships with Matt. Some of you are very close to Matt because you're in his immediate family, his past immediate family, or his indirect family, and his church family. And so you might have different experiences with Matt. It took me about a year and a half to get past the experience of having Matt come up to my shoulder and trying to flick it. But in this last week, Matt and I have spent a lot of time together. What happened this morning was because Matt let good news infiltrate his being so he could pass good news onto you. That being Jesus. Now, the good news and the fact of Jesus being our good news was prophesied. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. And the word prophetic means telling forth, speaking forward. Now, I want to talk about this because sometimes we get caught up in words like prophetic. Let me put it into a very practical terminology. When you go on Amazon.com or on the internet to buy something, do you look at the reviews? Do you look at how it's rated? Well, this is what prophecy does. Prophecy gives the rating of Jesus before he ever shows up. And he's 5 stars. No malfunctions. Complete good news. So Jesus lets God post his pre-released review in Galilee. And I'd like to talk about that right now. Let me share with you what happened in Galilee from 2 different passages. The first one comes from Matthew chapter 4. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, and the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. Jesus is a great light to our dark, starving souls. He is nutrition to our dark, starving souls. Now let me take you to Luke chapter 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the impoverished," or the poor. "He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord," or the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You see, Jesus is the God-anointed, prophesied nourisher of our impoverished souls. He is the only nutrition for us. And his anointing is prophetic. 5-star reviews beforehand. And his story is supernatural. And that's important because if it wasn't supernatural, he could not give you nourishment in your spirit and your soul, your eternal being. So let's stop for a moment. I'd like to give you a couple good news facts. Things that you need to process right now. If we're going to talk about spreading the good news or talking about the good news, if we're going to talk about receiving the good news, we need to know these things. Number one, good news is for every day. It is not for just for when you said or raised your hand and said, Jesus, come into my heart. It is not just for eternity. Oh, one day I'm going to know the fullness of the good news. The good news, Jesus, is for you every day. And if you are not receiving the good news every day, you're walking in malnourishment. Now, I want to talk about breakfast. In the 90s, some survey came out. And in that survey, they said that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And a bunch of restaurants use that to get you to buy their big meals. Breakfast is very important. It is the most important meal of the day, but not to be over gluttonous with it. We do it wrong. But why do we think about breakfast or breaking the fast of night without thinking about the fact that Jesus is our good news that we need every day? We need to start with our nourishment every day. As important as breakfast is for our physical body, Jesus is important for both our physical and our spiritual bodies. Jesus is the good news for us. We cannot declare good news for others unless we've received it ourselves. And Jesus is good news for all those around us. We need him every day, as do others. And every one that we meet, do you realize that every one you meet, you do a posting? You check in. And I don't use Facebook much, but I hope I'm using Facebook terms. When you meet somebody on the street or in the store or on the sidewalk or in your house, God forbid, you post to them something. Is what you post nourishing or malnourishing? Every relationship you have and everything you do that interacts with people and creation, but I'm working on people this morning, is a posting of good news or malnourishment. It's a posting of Jesus or yourself and your selfishness, your carnality. Eating breakfast in spiritual terms means eating Jesus. And if you think I'm crazy, Jesus said that. He told us that. Jesus told us that he is the nourishing bread of life. So let me walk through a couple scriptures this morning. You need to have your pencils ready. If you don't have the PowerPoint, because Jesus is the bread of life, the living water, and the life-giving spirit, or man from God. John 6, beginning with verse 31. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of heaven is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then two verses later, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am your bread. John 7, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of him will flow rivers of living water. Jesus is the only source of ever-flowing living water for your spirit and your soul. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it to its fullest or abundantly. That's John 10:10. Jesus is the only fully nourishing, life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second is from heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus' life is effectual. It is what we need. It is nourishment for our spirit. It is nourishment for our souls. Jesus is our good news. Hallelujah. Praise God. And as Jesus said, if we could only see a piece of manna, and there isn't any manna left unless there's an ark somewhere. I'm not going to go there. But there isn't any manna left except possibly there. But there is Jesus. And he is the bread that came, that was given from heaven for us. Now, do I dare give these to Stephen? After focus group. I don't want you getting sick in Bill's class. They were in the freezer for about 2-3 months, so. Cookies aren't going to nourish you. They aren't going to nourish you. They're going to feed your sensations, but they aren't going to nourish you. Jesus is going to nourish you. Now, if we're going to actually, as a church, grab hold on to the idea that we're going to interact with a community and bring them good news, we have to be in a place where we are nourishing ourselves with the bread of life. And then secondly, we need to start looking at people. So let me tell you how I've thought about people. Oh, I'm not going to tell that person about Jesus because they really look like they have it together. Or, you know what? That person will never listen to me. Or, I would rather never be in the same room with that person. Are these thoughts you've ever had? But Jesus says, I want to be in every room that every person that I created ever is in. And we need to be in the place where we're seeing the malnourishment of other spirits and souls, for us to hear from God and feed them. And we're not feeding them with us, we're feeding them with Jesus. Jesus' life is effectual. He is the nourishment that has no side effects. He is our good news, and he's the good news of those around us. In the world, and in our country, and in our state, heaven help our budget, and in our communities, and with our neighbors, and in our homes, and in our space. Just our space.